The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church with Reverend Jimmy Crishon on Sunday, January 20th, 2019.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, our Christ, on this Sunday morning, the 20th of January. Let us know that today is indeed the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, we come today to thank you for your love, grace, mercy, peace, and presence, and to claim your promise that where two or three are gathered together, you will be in the midst of them. For indeed today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
John 2, 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour is not come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each held 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it out. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, for some of you, some of what I'm going to say is a repeat because you were in Sunday school or watched it online. So bless you for enduring it twice, but I've got some things I didn't give you in Sunday school. I hold some things back or it would just be really boring for you guys, wouldn't it? Wedding in ancient Judaism was, and in the day of Jesus, was a big deal. And it's really important to kind of get the context of this Jewish wedding culture and tradition because Jesus often uses this wedding illustration in these wedding stories like the 10 bridesmaids, 5 foolish, 5 wise. And Paul uses it too in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 when he talks about the second coming of Christ. So it's really important to kind of get this Jewish wedding custom kind of under our belt. So this is a teaching moment for us. But there's some things that you have to say about this particular wedding, Cana of Galilee. I gave the Sunday school class homework, and I'm not going to change that. You need to go find out why it was significant to be Cana of Galilee. John particularly tells us that this is where. It's interesting to find that out, to discover that, and to dig around. Number one is, despite popular opinion and some people today, we do not know whose wedding this was. We don't know other than it was in Cana of Galilee. We can make some inferences based on what we see going on, but we don't know whose it is. If we knew whose they was, then that would be the Holy Family, you know. This would be the one where everybody got drunk on Jesus' wine and it was special or whatever. So we don't know. It's just like in Paul's situation. Paul's got a physical infirmity, and we don't know what it is. We're not told what it is, and that's by purpose, so that we don't elevate that to be like Paul means, you know, you got to dis, you know, but we don't know those things. So that's why it's left out. It's intentional. It's on purpose. So John is recording this, and kind of keep in mind the context. We are one Sunday removed from what? You already forgot. Baptism of the Lord, which involves what? Water. And water is what? Purification. John is baptizing with water, right? John is baptizing with water, and the Jews use water for what? Purification. Notice that these pots hold 20 or 30 gallons. I want you to find some 5-gallon buckets, but folks, that's 4 or 5 or 6 5-gallon buckets full of water. Just to kind of put that in perspective, if I stood them up, they would be this high in buckets. That is at least conservatively 120 gallons. This was a big wedding. That's a lot of wine. Now you've got stone, not clay, not tile, but stone. They are stone jars because stone wasn't as pervious as or as weak as was the clay. Plus, it didn't grow mold and mildew like the clay did, and it could be easily cleaned. And you'll notice a picture on your bulletin this morning. Maybe you've been doodling on the inside, but you can notice the stone pots are on the outside. So you know I'm with the lectionary, and that's where these bulletins are too. So you got these stone pots, and they're big, they're huge, they're heavy, and they are for the purification. So we think the inference here is that this is a person who was connected with the temple. He had in his possession these items that would be used in the temple. So we think that he's connected, he's high up, he's rent official. The disciples are invited with Jesus, and the tradition of the wedding was the bride would be waiting on the groom. And she didn't know when he was coming. And the bridal party didn't know when he was coming. When he made up his mind, he made an announcement. I'm going to go receive my bride. And he would leave. And a person would go in front of him. And they would call out, and the bridegroom cometh. Is that clicking any boxes for you and where you hear that else in the scripture? Or in the hymns? Or in our traditions? And he would go, people would join the wedding party as they went, and he would pick up his bride, and then they would go to the determined place for the wedding. It was always at somebody's home, usually his parents or her parents. They could negotiate that out. But the Jewish home was kind of different. The Jewish home had a street that fronted, and it's still that way in Israel, and you would enter a gate. And when you entered that gate, there would be a big courtyard surrounded by the dwelling. And once the bridal party had went in, the gates were closed. And the next time those gates would open would be when the wedding was over. Nobody came and went. If those gates were over, it symbolized that the gates were open, it symbolized that the wedding was over. And the longer it went, the better it was, the more extravagant it was. And the steward of the wedding, based on what he observed of the wedding, he was in charge of everything in there, he would give his blessing on this couple at the end of the wedding. So the wedding wasn't like we do, 20 minutes, I am, she is, we're gone, you know, kind of thing that we do. This went on and on and on and on. So 120 gallons of wine for a pretty good crowd for a little while. You know what's going on here? So that's what's going on. And Jesus uses this when he talks about you yourself will be left outside when the gates are closed. You can't get in. And they'll come and say, we don't know you. The 10 foolish or 5 foolish bridesmaids couldn't get in because they couldn't go. So Jesus uses this illustration often in the Bible. And so the disciples, so here you go. You got it. It's universal. Hold on to it. That's the teaching for this morning. As quick as I could give it. And there's more there. I sure do miss Dennis's water glass up here this morning, so you got to put up with the plastic bottles. So now we are at the wedding, and now you know what's going on. We got you in the context of it. You can remember baptism of the Lord. You got the water purification vessel and all that. You got all that right? So now Jesus is at this wedding in Cana of Galilee, and every wedding I do, and I always say in the liturgy, and Jesus graced the wedding in Cana of Galilee with his presence and in this sacrificial love, and we go all through all of that. So it's part of the liturgy that goes on. So now Jesus is there, and he's hanging out. You know, he's out. Jesus liked to party. He got accused of it. He got condemned about it. They said bad things about him because he'd go do this stuff. But him and his disciples are there and his mom's there. And it's funny, for the first thing in Sunday school class notice was he don't use her name. John does it. He said, and the mother of Jesus. It's that woman. You know, everybody knew. There wasn't any doubt who John was writing about. It was Mary. They knew who it was. And the mother of Jesus. She comes to Jesus and says, what? Come on. Interact. Make noises, sounds, words. The wine had give out. He got slow. Kind of like me, you know, it was kind of give out at the end of the... No, it was out. She said, they ran out of wine. Catastrophe, folks. This is a total embarrassment. They ran out of wine early. Maybe the guests were too many or bigger drinkers. But they've even run out of the watered-down wine. They are out. This is a fiasco. This is a disaster. This wedding won't get a blessing. Those people will go, and this wedding will go down in shame. And she comes to Jesus, and she says, they're out of wine. Now, listen to me. This isn't an argument going on between them. There is no disrespect going on in here. There's some reference here that we're going to see that is in reference to his final death and resurrection. It's that... it's not the parousia toward the end times, but it's that eschatological reference of Jesus going there. Never mind. It's just a preacher thing, I guess. So what you've got going on here is she knows he's going to do what's right. She says they've ran out of wine. That's all she says. She doesn't tell him to do something. She doesn't tell him to make a water into wine. She doesn't tell him fix it. She doesn't tell him levitate out of here and go get some. She says they're out of wine. Jesus knows full well what that means. Jesus knows full well that this will be a disgrace. But he also says, hey, mom, that's not our fault. They didn't prepare. The tradition stands, Mom, that you should not intervene here, and that if they did not adequately prepare, then they should suffer the consequences. That's their tradition. And sometimes we say that to our neighbors, don't we? Well, they should have prepared better, or they wouldn't be in that mess. Better be careful. But Jesus, here's what she don't go any further than that. She knows he's going to do what's right. So what's the next thing she says? This is what you need to underline. This is the most important piece that you're going to get out of this message this morning, is what she says to the servants. This is the heart of this whole thing. Do whatever he says. Do whatever he says. And he says, go fill them up. And they fill them up to the brim. Now, you know what that means, don't you? It's kind of sloshing out, running out. It won't hold anymore. Anymore. So they fill the 6 pots, 120 plus gallons of water. Now, what is water? Purification and cleansing. Water is life, isn't it? You are about 97% water. You're kind of sloshy with a little mud thrown in. You know, that's just the way it is. Of dirt we are created. We're really walking mud pies, kind of held together by some mitochondria and other weird stuff going on in there. And as we get older, our mud wrinkles, you know, and it shows cracks just like a dried out pod, you know. It's kind of the way it is. It just happens that way. It grows up weed here and there. It's out of your ears. Why? You know, anyway, I digress. So water is life, but water is the base, isn't it? Water's plain. You know, how many of you think water has a taste? Anybody think water tastes good? That's your imagination. You know, just let it run away with you. Maybe you can imagine it tastes like wine, you know, or whatever. You know, use it, go with it, run with it, whatever. Some people can't stand water. They say it tastes horrible. You know, what? They have to put something in it, you know. They put them little tear-off top things and shake their little bottles up, and they squeeze a little. They can't stand it. They say plain water tastes bad. It don't taste anything. It has no taste. But you're sitting there thinking, I beg to differ. Right now, aren't you? Well, watch out. If you're getting that mineral stuff, it may taste like it. You know, it may taste like whatever. But anyway, so water's base is plain. It's ordinary. And you know, that's us without Jesus. That's us without Jesus. But I want you to look, Jesus is in this tradition. Man, he's in this tradition. He is elbow deep in this tradition. So he says to them, fill them up, get it, dip it, and go take it to the steward. I got news for you. If I had been that man while I filled them things up and what dipped in there, I would be worried about what was going to happen when I got that steward. How about you? I'd be peeking down in that cup. I'd be looking to see, is this red yet? Is this, what's going on here? You know, this is still water, and I'm going to be there in just a second, you know. But then he gets there, and that steward. How many of you have heard the story about Jerry Clare and the drunk driver? You're going to hear it. You might as well. This guy was driving down the road, and he was swerving everywhere. The police pulled him over, and the boy spooled down the window, and the policeman looked over in there and said, boy, you been drinking? He said, no, sir. No, sir. He said, what's in that bag right there? What's got the sides curled down around it? He said, that's water. He said, let me see that water. And he handed him that bottle with the bag spooled down around it, scrunched down around it. And that police officer stuck his finger in there, swished it around, got a little on his finger, and he licked it. And he said, boy, he said, that's wine. And he said, praise Jesus, he's done it again. So we could laugh at church cameras. I can't preach this without telling that. I preached on this text. I think I preached on it the last time. Let me look in here. I know I told that story. It was back at, in 2004, back at my last church. And so he's going up there, and you need to know, he gives that thing, and that steward takes, it's a big thing, folks. Every time the new wine was brought out, the steward had to give his approval. Now he has a sip. We're a few days into this wedding, and he has a sip of that, and he stops the proceedings. You don't get that by just reading through this, but he does. And what does he do? He calls the bridegroom up. Hey, boy, come here. Can you imagine what was going through that bridegroom's mind? He has stopped. He knew they were out of wine. He can't imagine that there's anything good going to come out of this meeting when he gets there. And he looks and he says, what have you done? Uh-oh. I bet that old boy is wondering, can I get out of here? Gates closed and all these, there's a crowd. You have not done what the traditions always do. For we always get the good wine when the party starts. And as people get drunk, you keep giving them worse wine because they don't notice. But you sneaky scoundrel, you have saved the best wine till now. Whee! It's a good day, and I got 120 gallons. Let's have a party. You know, let's make it pull this off. Let's have a good wedding here. And as far as we know, there was. Because then we go out to, and they believed. And they believed in Jesus. And he continues his journey to Capernaum next. So what went on? In the midst of that tradition, Jesus worked with religious instruments, taking water that had symbolized the simpleness, the cleanliness. He had changed it into wine. What's another word for wine? Sunday school class. Spirited. You ever went to the liquor store, what's it under? Let's see how many of you are drinking on the side here. Spirits. Why do you call it that? It's got a kick, right? You need to understand, Mr. Welch is wrong. Every bit of this stuff was fortified wine that Jesus was drinking and sharing. He didn't drink any, by the way. But the one that he was turning into, it was fortified wine. It was a grape juice. Grape juice turns to junk. Now, he's not advocating being drunk here, all things in moderation. But it's the best wine. It's a spirited wine. All of a sudden, the water of cleansing. Oh, shucks, wait a minute. Last Sunday was what? Baptism of the Lord. And Jesus was baptized by John, right? Down to Jordan. What happened? There was that bird thing, that bird incident. The spirit that descended on him. John had this argument with him. What did he say? I'm not worthy. But then John said, this guy that I'm not worthy to baptize, who I'm going to baptize, he's going to baptize you. He's confusing here a little bit. He says he's going to baptize you with what? With the Holy Spirit. Guess what we got in them jars now? We have spirited water. Symbolism going at it, isn't it? Spirited water, this wine, and it ain't just any wine. It's the best wine. It's not just drinkable. It's desirable. It is no longer what it was. It is changed. For us as Christians, that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to make us into the best wine. He wants to fill us with His Spirit that is filled with grace, that is filled with mercy. He wants to fill us and make us new. He wants to take the traditions and use them. Working in them, Jesus changes everything right under their nose into this aforementioned and planning ahead of his death. Remember, he said, my time hadn't come, but I'm going to put it in here. The shedding of blood, the Passover feast, turning the wine into his blood. And that's what he wants to do for us. He wants to make the best out of us. But we have to do what Mary told the servants. We have to do what he says. Not what we want. Not twist his word into what we want it to say. But we have to do what he says. And for us, church, if we want to be new wine, if we want to have that new life, then we have to do what he says. And it's in here. It's in here. We need to spend some time in this. And folks, if you can't spend time, we have Sunday school class every Sunday night. It ought to be full back there. There shouldn't be six or eight. It ought to be full. Because I don't think any of us couldn't do with a little more Bible. A little more study. If it can't be back there, that whole sidebar on that Facebook Live ought to be lit up. Ask yourself, why not? Ask yourself, and truthfully, are you looking at this at home? Are you spending some time? Every one of us needs a good Bible. Every one of us needs a good Bible commentary to go with it. For one suit of clothes, you can buy the best Bible commentary to go with your Bible. Just do without that next fancy whatever. Or don't go out to eat one night this week with your family and buds, or stay out of the beer joint and save a few cold ones prices and whatever. Oh, preacher, this is a little hard. Folks, you ain't going to get it if you don't get it. You're not going to get the full measure and meaning and presence of what it is to be in the will of God if you don't know what it is for you. I can't tell you what it is, no more than you can tell me what it is for me. I have to find it in the Word of God, which isn't a personal relationship. Jesus turned the water to wine, and everyone experienced it. It isn't just about you. God wants to bless you, touch you, and change you, that you can be a blessing to other people, that you can touch other people's lives. It isn't why, but it's how. We talked about that on our Facebook thing Saturday night. God wants us to rely on Him, to be witnesses of Him. We're supposed to be called Christians, and that means to be like Christ. We're all moons, the light. We are the reflectors of the light of Christ into the world around us. We need to believe. We need to read. We need to listen to what He says. The church has got to get on fire for Jesus, and it can only do that if it trusts in Him and knows Him, believes in Him, and lets the water be changed into wine. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. It is a wonderful thing that God says, I'll make new wine out of you. And you won't just be grape juice. You'll be good wine. Good wine. Can we trust Him for that? Pastor, I struggle with reading my Bible, and that was pretty strong. Pray for me, and I'll try. If that's you, slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Pastor, it just seems that I don't have time. Pray for me. If that's you, slip your hand up. You have the time you take and the time you give. Pastor, I read it, but I don't get it. Pray for me. If that's you, slip your hand up. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, may You take the water that is us, our commonness, our universalness, yet it is life itself, and may You stir within it Your Spirit to touch lives, to share grace. Show us how to live it out. Show us how to be new wine into the difficulties of life around us, and to give that life that is Christ. Let them see it in us. And Father, may Your Spirit move and stir us in our relationship with You and with others as we share our journey together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May God's grace and peace go with you. May you know that you have the potential of being the best wine that the world has ever seen, because God loves you and wants to work in you to change you for good. And may God's grace and peace go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.